Flames is a podcast created by best friends and twin flames, Chloe and Hillary, about personal development, shifting the perspective, and becoming your most authentic self. Chloe is a spiritual practitioner, astrologer, and entrepreneur. Hillary is a mindfulness expert, happiness educator, and therapist in training. We combined our strengths and knowledge to bring you the best of what we have found to be helpful to us on our respective journeys. So today we're doing something a bit different. We're very grateful, lucky, and excited to be interviewing Heidi Bushy. So Heidi is the author of Relationship Ready, How I Stopped Fucking Randos and Started Cupcaking My Soulmate. She also co-hosts a podcast called All Gold Everything about pop culture, love, and relationships. And she even offers coaching. So let's get into the interview. Chloe, I think you go first with your question.
All right. Well, before I jump into that, I do just want to say, you know, we always like to start our podcast, even though this one's a little bit different. We always start off with a little bit of us just kind of talking. So with all of that, I would like to hear a little bit from Heidi. You know, how are you?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for sharing your platform with me. I'm so excited to be talking to both of you today and to all of your listeners. I mean, to be totally honest, we're being authentic and transparent. I woke up this morning a little fearful. I'm up here in Portland, Oregon, and my family's been doing social distancing for about 4 days now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, actually, we were really lucky. On Saturday this week, we had a snow day, which is super unusual for us.
Oh, wow. That would be.
And it was kind of eerie, but also kind of cool because it was kind of like, oh, nobody goes out in Portland on a snow day anyway. Everyone stays in. We're all just staying in because of the snow today. So it gave us kind of like a little mental reprieve, I think. But I'm really thrilled to be chatting with both of you today. And also just like how many people, you know, I'm encouraged and inspired by how many people are reaching out and like canceling their in-person stuff, but shifting it to FaceTime or shifting it to video conferencing. Yeah. So we are still getting like a little bit of that, like, you know, that good interaction and the good reminder that even though we're all being a little more cautious, like everything it for now, like, you know, my feet are on the ground. My body's connected to my feet.
Yes. Yes. Such good points. In these times of like panic and mass hysteria, those things are so important to stay grounded, to stay connected, to stay safe as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Well, and the other thing is that I'm listening to a ton of podcasts and a ton of Audible books that are kind of giving me life right now. So I feel like the circle, you know, I'm completing the circle by helping create one today too. So that's really good.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of podcasts, just because I'm curious, how did you stumble across us, Heidi?
I actually started, I started a PR campaign for the book, and part of that was just to maximize the exposure and get out there. And I have a regular recurring segment on like a local TV station here, and I had done some stuff locally, but I thought, you know, I really would love to like be on other shows. So honestly, I'm a little embarrassed to reveal my secret to you, but what I did was I just Googled, I was on Instagram and I searched hashtag Lady Pod Squad.
I love it.
And you guys came up.
That's brilliant. I love that. I will take that.
Right?
So I just felt like these ladies are doing twin flames, soulmate stuff, love, relationship, authenticity, you know, all the things that are really aligned with the work that I'm doing. And so I thought I'd give it a shot, see if you'd have me. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, of course. Yes. We're so grateful to have you here. This is wonderful.
We really are. Thank you so much for hitting us up, because she technically sent a message to us, but thank you so much.
Yeah.
So now, Heidi, I do want to know more about getting into coaching, because I'm going to out myself here, as you put it earlier. Coaching is something I personally have always been really fascinated with. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious in general, but I also think our listeners would really like to know more, because we do talk about it on the show. It comes up a lot. And so I just want to know what maybe got you into coaching, what your experience was like. So could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I love that. That's such an awesome question. I mean, I guess at the core of this, it's about like using my experience to benefit others and being able to serve people who are struggling with the same things that I struggled with, and kind of getting out of my own way of, you know, the fear of like not having enough licenses, certificates, education. You know, I don't have an MSW. I'm not a mental health professional. I do have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, nearly a PhD. I dropped out. It's in the book. And a ton of life experience. There is not a lot of things that either I haven't lived, or that I don't know someone that's a great resource that hasn't lived or have, you know, good stuff on. I feel like part of it is about having enough awareness and lack of ego to say, like, look, I don't actually, sexual assault and sexual trauma is not a part of my story. So if somebody comes to me with something like that, I'll often say, like, look, I'm happy to hold space to hear that for you, but like, I also would really encourage you to talk to someone who's qualified to really help you with this, right? So some of it also is about knowing where I am qualified to help and where I'm not. But really, here's how it really, I mean, so that's kind of all the core stuff that is in this inside of me that drives me to coach. But the reality of it is this, you know, it was about 7 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, that I was 2 years sober. And I had really gotten rid of all my vices. Like, I didn't drink anymore. I didn't do any drugs. I didn't steal stuff. I'm like starting to live as a woman with integrity. I'm like showing up where I'm supposed to be on time. Like all these things. My only vices that were really left were like parking illegally and fucking who I wanted to fuck. And so I had this arrangement with this guy who had a girlfriend, and you know, we just like got together and got down. And at the time I thought that it was like very empowering. I felt empowered when I made the agreement with him. I felt like, I remember during this period of my life, I used to say all the time, like, I do what I want. Like, I just really was like crazed with this idea of feeling empowered and able to do whatever I wanted to do. And so I made this arrangement with this guy, and we would just go get down. And eventually, you know, maybe 3 months in, he broke up with his girlfriend, and we continued to have like our, you know, our trysts, our get togethers. And then a couple months after that, he said to me, like, Heidi, you know, I feel like I'm objectifying you. And I was thinking that like, maybe we should like go to dinner and get down, or maybe we should like go see a movie and get down. And I said like, well, we could do that, but that would be dating. That's like, you know, that's part of like right. what dating is. And he looked me like dead in the eyes and was like, I told you from the beginning, Heidi, I don't want to date you. And
whoa,
it was awful. I mean, oof. The wheels fell off for me. I left his apartment. I was devastated because I realized that I had been, that whether or not I'd been honest with myself 6 months prior or however many months ago we'd started this, by the time he said that to me, what I was doing with him was no longer authentic for me and no longer felt good. And that is a caveat to the book, which is this. Look, if you're out there and you're fucking randos and you're having fun, keep doing it. Like, do whatever is authentic and true for you. But what happened for me was that I found myself in a place where what I was doing was no longer authentic for me and was no longer honoring my truth. And I didn't have any tools to do something different. Like, I only knew how to swipe right and left. I did not know how to do anything that would serve what my soul was calling for, which was a long-term, intimate, sustainable, loving relationship. Yeah. So I called this woman that I knew. I happened to know her from recovery. I'm active in 12-step recovery. And she said, like, I have some work that we could do if you want to try something different. And I said, oh my God, I'll do anything. I will do anything. I'm in so much pain. Yes, yes, yes. So we agreed to do this work. And when I came out the other side of it, honestly, it does not have to take anyone this long. It took me a year to do. I never would have agreed to do it if I had known it was going to take that long. I really thought like, oh, it's going to take 2 weeks, 30 days. I'll be done. Things will be different, whatever. It took me an entire year. So I finished up this work and I realized there are women who could really benefit from the experience, from knowing my experience, from knowing the tools that I cultivated and used and being able to use them in their own lives. And they might not be quote unquote lucky enough to have access to someone in recovery or to be near the 12-step tools, because a lot of the tools in the book are based on 12-step, but there are some additional things in there. So, so then I thought, wow, this really changed. It completely transformed my perspective on men, relationships, love, the accessibility of love and intimacy to me. And so after that happened, you know, I took some time to do the work, blah, 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 whatever. Fast forward a couple of years, I thought, I need to write a book about this. I need to help women with this. You know, and so that is kind of how I moved into coaching, just because I really have this drive and this, I don't know if it's drive, it's actually because I really have this like this purpose. It feels like a really deep and intrinsic and like internalized purpose that like I have a story to share and it can help other women and it can help not, and it's really cool because it can help other women kind of release the narrative that they have or shred the narrative that they have around whether their worthiness of love, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's beautiful. I think that's important. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really wonderful. I love that.
Yeah. So that's,
I mean, I don't love that you had to go through hell and back, but I love what you got out of it.
Right. And we also, we talk so much about how that's like so often the process. Oh, you go through something really tough and then you come out on the other side and like, look at how you shine, to say the least.
Oh, I love it. I mean, and so much of that is like related. I have this analogy that I love about fear, but it's also, it's about all this stuff, right? So it's like, you know, I imagine that I'm standing at one end of a dark tunnel and I have to go through, you know, I have to get to the other side of it. And like, I'm afraid of the dark, right? So the thing that's nice about the tunnel I'm standing in is that the first, on the end that I'm at, there is a motion sensor light, right? So the first 4 or 5 steps, the light's on, feels pretty good, moving through my fear, doing what the deal. But then I take the 6th step and the light goes out, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, oh my God, and of course I'm going to run back and turn the light on a couple more times. I'm not a psychopath, you know? So I have to run back and turn the light on a few times, but eventually at some stage, I'm just going to have to move through the fear tunnel fearfully. I'm going to have to move through it in the dark and I'm going to get to the other side. And hopefully when I get to the other side, I can use my experience to benefit others or to, you know, my experience is valid no matter what, but there is something else, I think, to discovering some purpose in having a hard experience and seeing if other people need your hope from that.
Wow. And I have to say, I love that analogy that you just used. That was so
good.
Beautiful. Oh, this is why you wrote a book. Like,
right? It's so true. It's so true. And it's a good book, y'all. Like, honestly, it's
an
easy read. It's hard for me to get through books, but it was a fun read and an easy read.
Oh, good. Well, it just came out on Audible as well, which is kind of just like having a conversation. Hey! You know, I narrate the book.
Oh, I love it when wonderful. The author narrates. That's the best kind of Audible audiobook.
It really is.
And honestly, on Audible, it's pretty short. It's like 3 hours and 30 minutes. So if you did it, I don't know if you could listen to it at 1.5 time speed, because I do talk pretty fast, but you know, so anyway, you might get through it pretty quick that way. I'm so delighted that you read it and enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's wonderful. Honestly, everyone who's listening should go out and get a copy, get it on Audible, you know, check it out. See if you like
this.
You will.
Such an 8 side story. But Heidi, what is your sign?
Oh, I am a Leo. Yay.
Oh my gosh. We love that.
Yes, we do.
But I will tell you, I'm a cusp. So I'm July 22nd. I'm a Cancer Leo cusp. And as I get older, I am discovering a few of my Cancer tendencies.
I would be so interested in seeing your chart and where, because I guarantee you, it probably has more to do with you having Cancer placements in other places. And we love a Leo placement. I truly believe, as an astrologer myself, that Leos, their intention to the world is to show others how they need to care for themselves.
Oh, yeah. I love it. So, oh, well, that's
perfectly aligned with my mission. Thank you very much for that today. That's excellent.
I love it so much. So everyone probably knows I'm full of quotes, and I just have to share one that I've probably shared a billion times on the podcast, because it's so relevant to what you're saying. It's the whole concept of, when the pain of staying the same outweighs the pain of changing, we change.
Yeah. Truth. I mean, I just feel like the human experience is trying to discover, I would love to live a life where I do not change at the speed of pain. Like, wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't I feel like a grown-up if I could like feel a little bit? Just a little bit of discomfort and change my life, you know? And I will say, the longer that I stay sober and the more personal development work that I do, the easier it gets. You know, I don't have to like want to drink or die before I change. Yeah. But there was a time in my life where those were really the first, I was unwilling to change my behaviors until I was like, I'm going to drink over this or I want to die over this. And that's a pretty scary place to be, frankly.
Of course. Of course. And also like, look to the point that you've gotten. Like, that's amazing. So even with the pain, like, I don't know, things always serve a purpose, even when they're terrible.
I agree.
So I have a question. Okay. And I'm thinking about like being an entrepreneur, about starting a business, about writing a book, about all of these different things that you're doing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, it can be so hard to keep things going. So what have you found helpful to you in sustaining growth, in sustaining like making things able to last or to keep going?
Yeah.
Do you have any tips or tricks or?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a couple of things. First of all, I feel like I say this a lot, but I think it's important. The internet is garbage for a lot of reasons, but it's also
mood. That is a big mood.
True.
2020 mood. But we all know it's great for COVID-19 memes, and it's also great for the way that has changed the accessibility of creative outlets, especially for women, I think. Yeah. And the way that it has created accessibility for women to generate their own incomes, whether it's a side hustle or a full hustle. Mm. So I love that. And so here's what happened for me. So I had worked a period of, so I had dropped out of my doctoral program because it's a long story. And then I had gone back to kind of working commission only sales jobs for a long time. Then I landed a job with the city of Portland, which was like, I finally am not going to be like, I'm not living on commission only. I worked as a crime analyst for the Portland Police Bureau, which sounds way more fascinating. I mean, it was a lot of Excel spreadsheets. It was
sounds real fun though.
Yeah.
Sounds incredible.
It was very few black lights and epithelials and very many Excel spreadsheets. So, but when I landed that job, I was really kind of craving the stability of like what you get when you work a government job, which is like steady income, good benefits, blah, blah. So I remember going like my first week, I'm such a maniac. My first week there, I was like, you guys, I love this job so much. You are going to have to pry my cold, lifeless hands from my computer keyboard. You're going to have to wheel me out, my skeleton out in my desk chair like that. I'm going to die here. I love it so much. And then, fast forward 3 years, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die here. I hate this job so much.
Oh my God. I know that shift.
Same.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's so real.
This is killing me. This is killing me. So here is what I would suggest. First of all, I would unless you are a 20 something with very minimal debt that you are carrying, if you're that person, if you're 20 and you have literally no debt, go ahead and, give your boss the F you and walk out the door. If you are somebody who has financial responsibilities, whether it's student loan debts, mortgages, childcare stuff, whatever, then it is really important if you are considering leaving a full-time position that you start your entrepreneurial journey on the side and that you get some momentum going. Would it feel amazing to give your boss the finger and slam the door and walk out? Yes, it would. But you will inevitably stall out because having all of a sudden all of your time to work on whatever your project is and not have any momentum going is a recipe for disaster. So I always say start something, get the wheels turning while you're still getting your regular income. And so that's a huge thing to start with. And then the second thing I will say is it is useful. There are coaches out there that are affordable. I do not think you need to drop $10,000 on a mastermind or $10,000 on a coach. Like I personally work with a coach that I paid $1,200 for six mm-hmm. sessions. So it's like $200 a call. That's like, and as far as the coaching,
that's amazing.
As in the coaching world, that's really reasonable. But the key is you want to find a coach who has done something that you want to do. So very similar to the idea of like, I use my experience to, I put my book out there. I did this so that other people would learn from it. Like I want a business coach who has actually run a business, she doesn't just have a business telling other people how to make their business. Like she has a business. So that is right. So you want to find someone, a mentor or a coach or somebody to help you stay accountable and who has the experience doing what it is that you want to do. So that's something. But then the other thing to realize is like one of the things that got me through those end of day days at my desk job was like, oh my God, I need a creative outlet. Like having a creative outlet really helped. And that's actually that's how I started the podcast that Sandy and I have since shelved All Gold Everything, but I have a new show. But that's how we started the All Gold Everything podcast because we were both feeling really dragged down in our 9-to-5, our regular jobs. And we were like, oh my God, let's get together once a week and just have such a great, I mean, you guys know.
Yeah. That's literally what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So it's like, oh, okay. So, we're on the software Zoom today. That makes it incredibly, it's free to basically video conference anyone and hit the record button and then post it online and you have a podcast, right? So it's, I mean, there's a little bit more to it, but but technology has made all these creative pursuits so much more accessible. And the same goes for like writing the book, right? Actually, self-publishing on Amazon is very simple and you could literally do it for $0.
Really?
Yes. Wow. It costs you nothing. So basically what you do is you write your book and then Amazon has any number of templates. You decide what size you want your book to be. You're like, oh, I want it to be 4x6. Then you download the template from Amazon, the 4x6, and you basically copy and paste your book in there. and then you re-upload it to Amazon. They have very little quality control. So they do screen for like hate speech and, you know, there are like some, there's some stuff that they screen for, but largely like paper doesn't refuse ink. You write it, they'll publish it. So,
wow. Ooh, I love that. That's paper doesn't refuse ink. Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. So there's no one over at Amazon going like, oh, well, this isn't written well, or her grammar is bad. They're basically like, oh, you have content. We're putting it up. We'll upload it. And so then the last piece of it is that they do offer a cover design product. So like if you want to, if you are aesthetically inclined, you are comfortable using Canva, which is another really cheap software, you can design your own cover. I personally am so bad. Visual art is like not my thing. So I hired a graphic designer, right? And that was, you know, money that I chose to spend. But all in all, I spent less than $2,500 to write the book. I hired an editor that I didn't, there were some mistakes that I, not mistakes, some lessons I learned, some things I discovered I didn't
some
have
happy
to do.
Accidents, as Bob Ross would say.
I love these reframes, living for it. Yes.
But so it's like, you know, oh my God, everyone in my life was like, do not hire an editor. Don't do it. You don't need to do it. Don't do it. Don't. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. Get it. I don't really feel qualified. I don't have an MFA in writing, you know? So I went ahead and I hired an editor. I paid her at the time. She was like, let's do this in 3-chapter chunks and, you know, I'll edit them. And then we'll have 10 days to collaborate and then we can make any changes. But at the time I was so tired of the process that I was like, I don't care. Just do whatever. I don't care. I'm just going to bury my head. So I never got back to her with any collaborate. I mean, I have a lot to own in this. So I never got back to her with any of the collaborations or whatever. And it was a week after she'd finished the last set of 3 chapters that I finally was willing to look at the edits she made. And when I opened them, I hated them. So,
Oh no.
I ended up not using the edits that I paid for, right? I for a minute I tried to integrate. I was like, okay, maybe I'll take the old manuscript and integrate it with the new. And then I was like, no, fuck this. Oh, sorry, am I allowed to just?
Oh, you can cuss all you want. Yeah.
All day, every day.
Fuck it. Yeah. So eventually I said, fuck it, this is too hard. Everyone told me not to do this in the first place. I'm just going to keep the original manuscript. So that's what I ended up publishing. And it was a kind of expensive lesson. It cost me $1,200. But between that and the $800 that I spent on graphic design, I did my entire book for $2,000. If, wow. Like I said, if you were willing to trust what you wrote was fine, and you were willing to like make your own cover, you could literally do it for $0.
Wow. That's incredible.
And for that's me, incredible. That's like, I always feel like now I feel like any woman or any person that's out there that has a message on their heart, like you should be sharing it, because literally the hardest part, it used to be that the hardest part about writing a book would be selling it to a publisher, getting someone to print it.
Yeah.
Now it's like the hardest part about doing it is sitting down at your laptop and writing it.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Right.
So true.
Wow. Honestly, NaNoWriMo, most powerful mm-hmm. thing I've ever done.
What is that?
NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month. Oh, and they have, right? It's every November, and they have like group chats that you can join, and the people will just encourage you, and you'll do like sprints together where you're just working on your piece. And I participated in one last year, definitely gave up 11 days in, but in November, I'm picking that same piece back up. So
that's right. And you did 11 days of work on it. I mean, I think that's like half the battle, right? And that is the one last tip that I learned when I did the, you know, so if you're a woman, I always talk specifically to women because so much of my business is women-based, but look, if you're a person out there that is thinking about writing a book and you're like struggling to open your laptop and sit down, the other thing that's great about technology is that you can just storytell, right? You can open voice memos and start talking the chapter that you want and then, you know, record it onto your voice memos. And then basically you just find a transcriptionist, send it off to them, and they'll turn it around. You know, you'll have it back in a Word document 48 hours later.
Wow. And absolutely right.
That's really quick too.
Yeah, really quick. And then all you have to do is kind of move, you know, then you can start to edit it or move pieces around. But I, a lot of times will recommend like a transcription strategy for people who are struggling to like actually like start typing.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote a thesis for the end of my master's program and you're right. The hardest part is to actually sit down and get it done. I mean, 1,000%. Once you start, then you can use that momentum, keep going. Mm-hmm. But to write a whole book as well, the time that takes, you know, the dedication and the motivation that you have to do it. Yeah. I mean, it's really clear that you have your purpose and that you're living it through this.
And I love
Right? Yeah.
I will say that's the other thing. I don't know how, this is the first and only book I've ever written. Aside from writing like a master's thesis and starting to do some other stuff, but I've never written a book before, and I do not know how anyone writes something that's fiction. Like, I don't know how you create a character or a storyline.
Yeah, I feel like, the same way. I've tried, and it is. I get way too invested, and I'm like, oh, but people are going to question this part about the character, so they need to have like this like trilogy just about who they are.
That's amazing. I don't even get started.
Any plot holes.
It's like, does she have grapefruit in the morning or oranges? Yeah. And is there a reason that she hates grapefruit? Like, no, I totally love that. And that is the other piece of advice I give aspiring writers, which is like, if you're thinking about writing, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, actually write about something you know, and you'll probably have an easier time writing something nonfiction that's like memoir based or about your experience. Or if you take something that's nonfiction that's memoir based and turn it into fiction by just like changing some names, changing a few details, right? Yeah. Like that's probably the best way to start building momentum through your project.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic.
It is. Oh, I'm thrilled. Actually, I love talking about that. Thanks for the question on that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's something that like we get started on things, but how do we keep it going? You know?
Yeah. Well, that is the other thing. So I did have, like I said, I work with a coach, and most of the work I do with her is accountability. So we will check in every 2 weeks, every 4 weeks, depending on like especially during the writing, we stretched it out to like every 4 to 6 weeks even. And she would be like, okay, here are the action items that you have. I want you to have your chapters outlined by this time. I want you to have this many pages written by this time. So a lot of it is about accountability. But then also I think a lot of it is about just continuing to find places of inspiration. And so much of that for me has been, it's so funny to talk about that being through creative pursuit, because like I said, I'm so not a visual arts are not my thing, but you know, podcasting is my thing. Storytelling is my thing. Writing is my thing. And so when Sandy and I shelved All Gold Everything, we shelved that back in October. It became important to me to start podcasting again, just because I love this medium so much. And I get to like meet cool people and all that. So I started a new podcast called The Relationship Ready Podcast with Heidi B. So that's streaming on Apple these days.
Awesome.
And I really just find like, I'm having the opportunity. That's how I keep things moving, by continuing these like creative pursuits, and by not waiting until I'm totally ready. Like by not requiring that I be at the end of the metaphorical tunnel before I walk through the tunnel, by just kind of walking through whether I feel really ready or not, being like, all right, I'm going to try a podcast here. Okay. I'm going to try, I just launched an online course, which I have crickets about.
That's fantastic.
That's still awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Like the time it takes to make those, like, wow.
I was like, well, I'm just going to try this. I'm going to put it out there. And you know, it's okay. I think it's a great course. I think there's a ton of great content in there. It's The Relationship Ready Workshop. So basically it's the book turned into an online course. It's good
That's
to probably
so
have
awesome.
The book with nice. It. But it's like, all right, it's just going to sit out there for a minute. If I need to rebrand it or relaunch it or whatever, like I'm going to try that. But it was like a really exciting kind of creative pursuit to be like, how do I turn this into 5 modules? How many videos do I want? What's this going to look like? So much of it is about just like being willing to suck at something.
Oh yes.
For sure. Oh my gosh, the lessons in everything you just said are just so layered and rich, like the lost art of storytelling. Wow.
I love it.
The need for support and connection to have people in your life, so big, and being able to step into the fear, like I mean, and you know, like a list of other things, but those were the three that I was like, damn, look at all that wisdom right there, all encapsulated, one answer. Just
so good.
It's amazing.
Awesome. Well, yeah, it's stuff that I love talking about. So I'm happy to chat about. And the entrepreneurial journey is truly just one of like getting familiar or getting comfortable being uncomfortable.
I would 100% stand behind you on that. As an entrepreneur myself, like, yes, you do have to be extremely comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so much can come out of that.
And like, I would say most of the battle, I don't know if you would agree with this or not, Heidi, but most of the battle is yourself. Like,
1,000%.
Like, people can come at you online all day, every day, but most of it is how you're talking internally to you.
Oh my God, my therapist brain is going nuts with joy right now. I'm like, yes.
I know, I was just thinking, can I score points with Hillary by saying like, I would never talk to someone else the way that I talk to myself, right? Like,
yes! Points, 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 points. That's beautiful. I'm loving this. The energy in here is, the energy in this virtual room is beautiful.
Amazing.
So in terms of like putting yourself out there though, like I know you said like your new online course, there's crickets about that, mm-hmm. but like even with like your book, like what would you say you are actively like out there? Like obviously you found us on the podcast for interviewing, but like where do you, in terms of keeping up your momentum online, like marketing wise and stuff, what do you think is really important? What advice would you give to somebody else marketing themselves?
Yeah.
Two things. First of all, I would say wait to buy Facebook ads. Because I think there's a lot of free marketing that you can do for yourself before you start funneling money into those. I think that Facebook ads can be effective. But I think working with a Facebook ad strategist makes a lot of sense. They get very, it's very quick, like that you get overwhelmed with like the choices and the things. So I would say if you're starting out or in your first season of business, set Facebook ads aside, no matter how much chatter you hear about them. And then I would say use the tools that are at your disposal. One of which would be, is Instagram. So like, I think it's definitely a necessity and I personally love it. So here's the thing. People want to see you. So I love Instagram stories, huge fan of Instagram stories. So I try to get on Instagram stories daily. In fact, actually I tagged your podcast on it before I came on the show today.
Thank you.
Because Instagram stories give all of the people who are in your warm market or in your social media sphere, the opportunity to really get to know you and hear your voice and see your personality and all that stuff. So I try to get on Instagram stories every day and I try to increase the engagement that I have on Instagram stories by using the polls and the ask a question. Those are two things that really like get people interacting with you, which is really what you want, right?
Because definitely.
You want people to know that you're like the greatest astrologer and that you're also like the coolest chick, or you want people to know, you know what I mean? Like there are so many marketable things about us that people don't just don't quite see from the grid that they can get from interacting on stories. So I'm a huge fan of Instagram stories. I'm always trying to be on there. And I will say, as in my own business, what has changed my willingness to do that is that I purchased a $30 ring light from Amazon.
Oh, yes.
Is that why you both look so well lit right now?
I mean, I technically have a light in front of me and a window, so I don't have my ring light on today, but I do have a light.
Wow. Yeah. Lighting makes 1,000% a difference. I was getting in my own way, getting on Instagram stories and doing marketing because I was like, oh, I don't like the way this or this. And finally I was like, fuck it. It's $30. Get the fucking ring light, put it in, you know, use it and just get on there every day. So I make a commitment to be on Instagram stories every day. And that's helpful. The other thing is like, I try to do a content calendar for the grid, like posts about the grid, but I actually was just on a marketing webinar last night with a woman that I follow named Angie Lee. And she's kind of a 30 something marketing guru. And she was just talking about like, really you can use your grid space to provide, good content for your customers. And she was talking about a formula called verb your noun. So like shred your narrative, flip the script, you know, find your soulmate. So verb, the word your, and then noun as kind of like a good headline or tagline to, so just, you know, just drop in a little bit.
I love that.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Actually, I have a question that I want to, it's not on our sheet, but have you ever considered doing anything on Twitch?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Because I think that's such an untapped market for what you're doing. Sure. And I think that could be incredible for
you. That's really interesting that you mentioned that. So I, Sandy and I, for All Gold Everything, did stream a couple episodes to Twitch, largely to crickets.
Okay.
But I would try it again because I believe in video content. And I also, and that also reminds me that YouTube is another great platform that like, if you're taking the time to do videos on Instagram, you may as well just upload them to YouTube as well. YouTube is SEO searchable in a way that Instagram is not, which, you know, some entrepreneurs know and some don't, but like having a YouTube channel, like, even if you start out with like 5 views, 10 views, like it's just a really easy way for people to find your content. And I think that's so useful. Yeah,
definitely. Because at least with Twitch, like that's in my personal life, like that's what I do. I'm a YouTube content creator first. Mm-hmm. And then I also stream on Twitch. Oh, that's like my day job. That's what I do full time.
I need to talk to you offline about my Twitch.
I do full time as my career.
And she's really good.
Thank you. And the reason I asked about Twitch is because I think a lot of people get it very confused that Twitch is only for gaming. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are actually trying to flip the script on that and bring more people to the platform that are doing other things. And I do gaming, that's my niche, but there are a lot of people that do a lot of different things. Like there are podcasters, there are people that are reading tarot cards live.
Yeah.
There
don't some people just like watch animals sleep?
Yeah. Some people, they're like, just animals.
It's totally
channels.
A thing, right?
So like, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that so much. And that brings up a great point, which is a woman that I work with always reminds me of like putting myself in rooms with other people who are not doing the same thing as me. Mm-hmm. So like so often this happens to coaches a lot where we like go to live events and it's like, you know, health coaches all get together for like a big health coach event, but then they're all
sounds like my dream.
But then they're all health coaches, right? So like for Chloe, it would be great since you're a YouTube expert, it would be incredible for you to be in a live event with all these health coaches that need YouTube channels, right? And it's like, oh my God, like, so it's, there is something that I always forget. There's something to that of like kind of diversifying all of your in-person connections. There's one thing to have your warm market. There's one thing to have people who are doing what you're doing, but it's another thing for like me as a relationship expert. One of the goals I've set for 2020 is to team up with some yoga studios and a workshop in the yoga studio, right? Because like so many people in the yoga community are all doing yoga. And like, they might need some relationship help stuff. So seeing about like collaborating has been such an incredible, I've had such an incredible opportunity to collaborate in the last 12 to 16 months. And it's been really good for me. And even these collaborations that seem kind of out there usually are great because they're connecting two spheres that otherwise wouldn't cross over.
Absolutely.
I love that. That's such a good lesson for our society as a whole. You know, don't stay in your own little narrow lane, you know?
Honestly, I think after all of this virus stuff, we're going to see so many creative projects come out of the woodwork that people haven't had time for, but they do now.
I think
it's going to be good. Like, it's not a good thing. The virus is not a good thing, but I think it has things that are good that are going to come out of it.
Oh, I agree. I'm actually sitting here thinking, I'm like, how am I, I'm starting to think about a second book. I'm thinking about writing a book about step parenting. Holy shit, I'm a stepmom.
Oh, yes, needed.
And that has kind of been percolating in this time of like relative isolation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. I mean, there's a lot we could say about what may come of this, but every once in a while, there's something that pops up that shows us the cracks in our system, the ways that we can grow. I know for me personally, like, hey, if I'm staying home, you know what that means? I have to cook and not buy shitty food. So in a weird way, it's healthier for me.
I know. Me too. We eat so much. We eat so much takeout. We eat out a lot. And I'm like, okay, we're going to do, we're going to use that Instapot.
Seriously.
Unintended repercussions, but sometimes good can come from bad.
Agreed.
I guess that harkens back to how we started too. Some bad stuff can actually result in some good.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, and I know right circle. Now, going back onto the Twitch thing in particular, it's a hot thing because a lot of people that like, there are so many teachers that aren't working right now that are like coming forth and saying, hey, we're going to stream like arts and crafts on Twitch. So put your kids down in front of our channel during the day.
Smart.
Or put your Hillary down in front of your channel. Yes.
There are teachers that are like live streaming though. That
so smart.
Bringing lessons for kids and things. And I was like, wow, like what a way to open up the market.
I'm absolutely going to look
that
up.
I really feel that, Chloe. Like I am feeling like so many people are moving into this online space as a consequence of what's going on right now. And it's like really exciting.
It is.
Yeah, it really is. It's so odd how these things just merge.
Anyway,
yeah.
I feel like that was such an eighth side story of what we were talking about. But
yes, and sometimes we just can't help ourselves. We have to point out the gray in the middle of the black and the white.
Yeah.
Can't help ourselves. But I also, so in thinking about entrepreneurship and thinking about our society, I'm sure that everyone who's listened to the podcast for a while, and definitely Chloe, you've heard me talk about these things nonstop. There's a lot of things that we can question about like our society and how things are for specific groups. So I'm really curious to know if you've encountered or experienced or noticed any challenges that are specific to women in entrepreneurship.
Mm. Mm. I'm not an expert. I'm not the end all be all on this. And I happen to work in a space, in the relationship space. And sometimes I will say, actually I have a friend of mine. This is not my own thought. This is a friend of mine's thought and I appreciate it and I want to share it here. But she's like, how come it's all these women doing work on relationships? How come the men are never doing work on relationships? It's not fair.
Good question.
You know, and so, and it made me think like, oh, you know, it did give me a moment to go like, okay, am I perpetuating this problem that suggests that it's a woman's responsibility to like get straight on her relationship stuff and like men can just go do whatever. And I'm like, and so that was something to look at for me that I really hadn't considered. And I ended up landing in a place where I'm like, you know, where I really came back to the idea of like my job and the core of my business is to serve. And right now I currently feel most comfortable serving women. And honestly, I don't think that I market in a predatory way. I think that that's where my responsibility lies, that I don't market in a way that's like, you're broken, you need this, you know, whatever.
Oh God,
right?
No. So
that would be awful. I would never do that. So, you know, I think my offering is mostly like, look, I was in a lot of pain and I didn't have any tools to get out of it. If you are having the same experience, I want to help you with that. And that is that comes from a genuine place of love and light, as opposed to like the manipulation of the patriarchy of like women have to fix themselves versus men don't or whatever. Yeah. Right. So that's kind of where I don't know if that quite answers your question, but that's where I came around on that. Otherwise, in a more general sense, I actually think that technology has made entrepreneurship so much more accessible for women. And I actually think more women than ever, this is not substantiated. You should probably fact check me, but I think anecdotally, I can tell that more women than ever are launching their marketing hustles, are launching are becoming direct, you know, so social media managers, are becoming marketing managers, are becoming YouTube managers, are starting to like pursue entrepreneurship because the barrier to entry is so low. Like no longer do you have to shell out $150K to buy a franchise McDonald's. You just need a phone with a camera on it and your Instagram and some expertise, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, the barrier. So in some way, I think that women are maybe, perhaps this, you know, have easier, I don't want to say like disproportionate access. I think that women are just taking advantage of it in a way that they haven't been able to before.
I love that. And I especially, the little social justice lover in me was just like so into that first part as well.
Yeah.
Well, I could rant for a while on that. So we'll sidestep that rabbit hole.
But sometimes we just need to pet the bunnies.
Yeah. No, do we need to? Because I can. Okay, here's what I'll say about it. Because I did write my thesis on the male experience in the U.S., which is not my own experience, and fully based on like talking to people and research and all of that.
How fascinating.
Talking about with like women holding that role and being that relational component.
Mm-hmm.
Without launching into 5 hours of explanation and summarizing my entire thesis, I will say that I believe that's something that's been socialized so that connection is seen as like a feminine thing, a woman thing, but that's a human thing. And so really it's just a corrupted view of what gender means in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And all gender means, honestly, in my view, is nothing. except this is who I feel that I am.
Yeah.
And who you are as a person never has to exclude some sort of emotional understanding or connection with people. So to have women as the forefront in this area only makes sense to me because that's how we've been socialized and how it's been historically. Mm-hmm. But I would urge any man who would love to get into the relationship realm, any man who feels like there's that need for connection and they're ready to dive into it, please do. Like we need that in our society, in my view.
Yeah. And actually,
I'll step off my soapbox.
No, I love it. I'm so glad because it reminded me of two things. First of all, I did write the book primarily directed at women because it was my experience. But I have my husband has a friend who just listened to it on Audible actually. And he was like, oh my God, I know that this book is mostly for women, but I really like it landed for me. It made a lot of sense.
Yes.
So you don't have to be a woman to read the book and get something out of it. I really think that everyone will learn some lessons in there. And then the second thing is, this is now I'm getting on my soapbox because for a while I was like, who am I to write this book? right? Mm-hmm. I'm not a mental health professional, although I did have a therapist I was seeing at the time, and he was a beta reader for it. So like some mental health professional eyes have been on it.
I love that.
And I was like, who am I to do this? And then a friend of mine was like, you know what? Who are you not to do this? Go online and see the garbage that is out there. See what is Google relationships, Google dating advice, and you'll see some fucking shitbags out there selling all kinds, you know, who are way far less qualified than you, far less empathetic than you, far less compassionate than you. And they are taking people's money and putting it in the bank. And who are you not to provide a safe and like emotionally comfortable space for women to unpack some stuff that's really gnarly. And as soon as I did that, that literally sealed the deal. Once I went on Amazon and Googled relationship dating advice, whatever, and saw the aggressive nature, the tone, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like,
yes.
We're doing this.
Absolutely. I can relate to that, that I had a similar experience when I was diving into writing about men. Who am I to do this? How is this my spot? And then you see what's out there and you go, okay, maybe it's needed.
Oh yeah. Necessary.
And maybe it's okay to let your light shine.
Oh, it's so good.
I feel like we could talk for hours and hours.
Probably.
But I really appreciate your perspectives on all of these things. Like,
thank you.
I think we all are getting this sense, but first of all, you fit right in. Super authentic, very aware. We love it, living for it. And I'm so appreciative to have your insight on all of these matters and to get to talk with you about it.
Well, this was truly such a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your platform with me. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. It is like a huge favor, without even really knowing it. It's a huge favor to me to be able to share this with your listeners. And you are both so lovely. And I just, this is delightful. What a lovely morning we're having.
Right? This is great.
I'm tripping over myself how much I love you guys. It's great.
Same though.
Yeah, same. Thank you so much. And Heidi, before we get out of here, we do want to ask that if there's anything you want to share with our listeners about where they can find you, you know, anything at all that you want to share, please go.
Wait, before we get to that, we do have some info that we want to give you all because we have a little gift.
Yes. And actually there's going to be more in the description about this. We are giving away a copy of Heidi's book. So
yes. All right.
Please check out the description on where you can find that giveaway information. Thank you for reminding me, Hillary. Please make sure you check out the description box on where you can enter for it. Anybody can enter. Mm-hmm. We'll ship it anywhere.
Yeah. We have made it as accessible as possible. So if you don't have social media, that's going to be okay. You can still enter to win.
Yes. So please make sure you check that out. And now, Heidi, if you have anything that you would like to share on where our listeners can find you, please do. Tell us.
Well, somebody's life is going to change with that giveaway. So that's exciting. Thank you for doing the giveaway. That's awesome. Let's see. You can find me in several places. First of all, you can listen to my podcast, The Relationship Ready Podcast with Heidi B. Streams on Apple, Google Play, on all the places. You know the drill. It streams wherever it's supposed to stream. And you can find me online on Instagram. I'm at honeyb52. It's just the letter B. And I would love for you to follow me there. You can check out, when you find me on Instagram, you have access to, I have all the links. You can find my online course. You can find the book in paperback or Kindle. You can find the Audible version of the book. And the last place that you can check me out is my website, www.heidibcoaching.com. And all that stuff is there as well. I am just so thrilled. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show. And I can't wait to connect with all your listeners.
It was our pleasure.
Thank you so much. If you love what you heard today, please come and follow us on our social media platforms. We are at Twin Flames Pod on both Instagram and Twitter. Use the hashtag AuthenticityWarrior to connect and share your authentic path with us. If you'd like to support us on our mission to spread authenticity to the collective, consider becoming a contributor on our main hub, Anchor. Anchor provides the ability not only to give feedback to the podcast, but you can also send in voice recorded questions that we are able to insert and answer on the show. Link in the show notes below. Another way to support us is by leaving a review. It really helps us to be seen and recommended more. If you do decide to review us, no matter the rating, screenshot it and send it to our email for a free guided meditation created by Hillary. More info on that below. And lastly, have a question, comment, or a concern? Send us an email. We'll do our best to reach back to you. Have a fantastic week. And remember, when you stand tall in your authenticity, you give others the assurance to do the same. We'll talk to you again next Monday.